and welcome to Climate Queens. This is a podcast to raise awareness about the effect that we as humans are having on our shared planet and what we can do about it. We'll be covering everything from what even is global warming, fast fashion, the minefield that is recycling, and everything in between.
We are no experts. We are just two Dublin gals who met volunteering and have been best pals ever since. So who are we? Katie is obsessed with the outdoors, with a background in food marketing, but her ultimate passion is to save the world one step at a time with a cup of tea in hand.
You know me so well. And Clodagh is a plant-loving, social entrepreneur, climate activist, who is a big fan of hot beverages also, and sea swimming. So join us on the last Friday of every month to channel your inner climate queen. And don't forget your cup of tea.
Or coffee. Hello, hello. Welcome back to episode 6. This month's episode is all about activism, a subject that is very close to both of our hearts. Mm-hmm. And what better time to be speaking about activism than the month that saw the biggest climate strike and mobilization in history.
Unbelievable.
So amazing. And that was Friday, the 20th of September, 2019. 4 million people took to the streets to protest, demanding change, demanding a better future for us and our children. Over 5,000 protests took place in over 163 countries. How incredible is that?
Amazing.
All of this, which started with Greta Thunberg at the age of 15, who began striking every Friday outside the Swedish Parliament, and which has now turned into Fridays for Future.
We attended the strike here in our hometown and capital city of Ireland, Dublin. We were surrounded by nearly 20,000 other individuals shouting and marching for what they believe in. To say it was uplifting and empowering does not even do it justice. We were at the school strike actually in March, which was only 6 months ago, and you could really feel the shift, couldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
There was an urgency and energy that really moved with the crowd. It was actually really something very, very special. So we definitely feel that we are a part of history on Friday, and we want you to feel that way too. So we spoke to some really inspiring people that you are going to hear from in this episode, like Edwin Alblas from Climate Case Ireland, Aisling Maguire from Patagonia, Shifra Caherty from Jump the Hedges, Helen from Eco UCD, and Cormac Nugent from Extinction Rebellion. You'll also hear from the absolutely inspiring student strikers like Molly Mercier Redmond and Beth Doherty. So we hope you enjoy the voices of our future.
Welcome to the park. We are in Stephen's Green. I am sitting here with Edwin from Climate Case Ireland. Ooh. And Katie.
Hi.
Hi. So we're just going to have a chat about Edwin. Today is Friday the 20th of September. So this is the climate strike day. We are just about to go get our march on. But before this, we thought we would have a chat with Edwin about what he is doing, because yesterday was quite a momentous day for Climate Case Ireland. So Edwin, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi. So tell us about Climate Case Ireland and any of your colleagues that are involved.
Yeah, so in short, Climate Case Ireland is a legal action brought by an organization, an environmental organization called Friends of the Irish Environment. And we've taken a case against the Irish state, the government, for not doing enough about climate change.
Amazing. And how did you decide to take this on?
So basically, there was this case in the Netherlands called the Urgenda case. It was taken in 2015. They successfully sued the government for not doing enough about climate change. And then the judge ordered the state to cut its emissions more rapidly, so by 25% by 2020. And it was so powerful that the judge actually intervened and say, you know, there's human rights at stake here, the interest of your people, the state has to start acting. And it was really powerful and inspiring, so we thought we have to do something too, and that's how we started.
That's amazing. So what happened yesterday? And this is obviously 2019, but when did the case start?
Basically, our grounds for taking this case is the National Mitigation Plan. It's basically a plan that the government adopted in 2017. And it sets out the course, the kind of actions that the government will take to combat climate change. And then when that was published, we read the document. They were like, this is nothing. It's full of, we're going to examine, we're going to analyze, we're going to see if there's any, you know, renewable options in the world. And we're like, there are renewable options. You just got to start using them and implementing these technologies. So basically, you get a time frame of 3 months to start your to start an action against this plan for a judicial review, as it's called. So we had to act within these 3 months, prepare all our legal documents and opinions and arguments and all the facts, etc. And then we launched the case in 2017.
Great. So did you go to court then in 2018? Did you only go appear once? How did it work?
So the procedure is basically you have to do almost like a trial. You go before the judge to set out your basic arguments, and then the judge says this is worthy of my time or not worthy of my time. If they say there's no case here whatsoever, you're dismissed from the outset. That's very procedural. And
just leaves falling
in Clodagh's face.
World.
Yeah. And that was successful. So we were able to take the case. And then in 2019, in January, so start of this year, the case was heard before the Four Courts here in Dublin.
Okay, so then yesterday was D-Day. What happened yesterday?
Yeah, so to be honest, it was a bit of a disappointing day for us. The hearing in January was super powerful, and we set out all this climate science, and we said, you know, this is so serious. This is what the scientists tell us. It's so serious. And government of Ireland here is not doing anything. Our emissions are, you know, increasing and not being reduced in any way. There's no meaningful action. And we set out our arguments over the course of 4 days. That was in January. The courtroom was packed every day. It was a very small room that only fits about 30 people. But every day there were about 80, 90 people there.
Wow.
Yeah, really cool. Like, you know, there were moms with their babies and mm-hmm. parents. And there was a Deliveroo bag at the door of this pizza guy who just came for an hour in his break. Yeah. It was super full, like people sitting on the floor, and that never happens, you know, that normally never happens. So it was really powerful. And people were like, I have to be a part of this. We had this big petition going as well that people could sign saying, this case is also in my name. And 19,000 people here signed that petition. So saying, this case is also for me, it's for me, and it's for all of us. And that's really the kind of message we wanted to send as well. And then on the In the courtroom yesterday, we got the verdict from the judge, which I said was a bit disappointing, because what he said basically is that climate change is real and very serious, and the, you know, action, there needs to be action. However, and that's, you kind of felt the however coming, you know, they were saying all these things about how serious climate change is, and the judge was like, I recognize all the science, and then you feel it, you know, that there is a however coming. So, however, the adoption of this national mitigation plan, that was, our grounds for this legal action, that's within the margin of discretion of the government. The government should be allowed to decide what is in this document and what not. And the judge, as a judge, I don't want to interfere.
Okay, so really, the mitigation is a plan of a plan, and we need action.
Yeah.
So, okay, so what is next then for Climate Case Ireland?
So basically what we've focused on for this case is the National Mitigation Plan, because it's a plan that, in our opinion, and this was also stressed by the government's own advisory council, by the fact that our emissions are still increasing, that kind of shows that the plan is not working either. Basically what we wanted to do is get this plan quashed and get the government to come up with a solid plan that will actually set us on the course of reducing emissions. And what the judge then said is that this was also one of the main arguments of the state, that this is a living document and that the plan will be changed and there will be new plans, etc. So it's a living document and the judge cannot review the legality of the living document. Basically, our opinion is that documents are not living beings, first of all.
Very good point.
But then, most of all, like, the government can just keep on making very vague, very non-concrete plans, just call it a living document, say, like, maybe in 2 years we'll come up with some plans, some concrete steps, maybe in 5 years, And we'll never, as citizens, be able to step in and say, this is not okay, we need a solid plan. Because you're never able to really get this plan reviewed before the judge.
So it's a cop-out, really.
It's very much a cop-out. And that's what we don't want. So,
and if people want to find out more about you guys or support you and your fight, where can they find you?
So we have a website, Climate Case Ireland, where you can still sign your support. So as I said, the petition has now 19,000 people that signed that this case is also in their name. But our case is not finished. In any case, we are not finished. So you can still sign up and you can follow our steps. As said, it's a legal proceeding, so it's not as if we're doing demonstrations or workshops or events every day. But there's a ton of things that you can get involved in. For us, it's probably best to just follow what we're doing, and you know, you can always share your ideas and things that you want to share, etc. But if you want to do concrete things, I think that the best would be to like get involved in one of the great groups that are active here, like Extinction Rebellion or Not Here, Not Anywhere. They're doing great work.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, what is activism to you? Like, it doesn't have to be demonstrations. Like, it could be what you would like for the planet, your small contribution. So what would you say to someone listening who has never taken any action or been to a demonstration? What would you think they could do?
So taking a court case against the government is probably not the easiest thing.
Too far.
It's probably not the easiest thing. Like, this was a group effort. Friends of the Irish Environment is a small NGO, but it was very much a group effort, and like brilliant solicitors, barristers, and people getting involved for free just because they care for the planet, care for the future. But if you want to do smaller things, or I mean, I think that we kind of need a holistic approach to this. So yeah, taking a government to court is one of the things you can be doing, but just organizing a nice yoga workshop with people to appreciate in nature and try to appreciate nature more and try to be a bit more sensitive of what's happening around you. And I think that all these things add up or contribute to addressing our problems. So
great advice. Well, Edwin, thank you so much for chatting to us, and we're excited to see Climate Case Ireland, what you do next.
And we'll see you at the march.
Yeah. Woo!
Climate change! Climate change! Not climate change! Not climate change!
Hi, Aisling.
Hi,
so tell us a little bit about what you do and where we are and why today is so important.
Well, I am a sales associate for Patagonia here in Dublin, and that's where we are meeting today now here. Last night we had our poster making session here.
Ooh!
Yeah, so that went really well, really big turnout, which was great. And then today we have our meeting here from 11, having a few teas, coffees, getting set up.
I'm getting stuck in myself.
Yeah, absolutely. We have some pretty nice brownies, and so then we're all going to go together to the custom house at noon and join the strike.
Brilliant.
So yeah, Patagonia is brilliant in that today globally we're closing. We're not doing any sales for the strike.
And wow,
there's a couple of strikes next week for a few of the European stores, but otherwise us in the US, everyone is shut down, concentrated on this important day.
That's amazing. That's brilliant. That's great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And for you personally, why is this such an important day?
Well, I mean, it's our generation, it's the generations below us. I mean, we're here to save the planet for the future, and nothing else is quite a top priority as climate. I mean, if we don't have our planet, we don't have any other problems to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
We need to address this now. And specifically Ireland, we have not done enough. We're still increasing our carbon emissions, not even gone neutral. And that just shocks me. I mean, it's just, where do we start?
So we need to get out and use our voices and march today together.
Absolutely. We need to get this. We need to show our government and show the nation that everyone cares, that this is the most important thing right now.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The Amazon is burning. When the planet's under attack,
stand up, fight back.
When the planet's under attack,
stand up, fight back.
When the planet's under attack,
stand up, fight back.
When the planet's under attack,
stand up, fight back.
When the planet's under attack,
stand up, fight back.
When the planet's under attack,
stand up, fight back.
We're down here, it's 10 past 12, we're at Customs House Quay and we're starting to march. The atmosphere is unbelievable.
Posh A&M, Ahru.
Woo! What does that mean?
It's time to change.
It absolutely is.
Yes!
System change!
Not climate change.
Workers' justice.
Climate justice.
Workers' justice.
Climate justice.
Workers' justice.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
So tell us a bit about why you're here.
Okay, we're here because we need to get everyone out onto the streets to really show that we need to take action on this crisis. And I think today we're going to get a lot of numbers. I think a lot of people know about it and we're going to get lots of people out on the street.
Yeah, no, it's really important because obviously it's important for us all to do our bit every day, like not use as much single-use plastics or to walk or cycle to school, like do everything where you can. But where it's going to have the biggest impact is when we're striking to get the government to actually change.
Woo!
So it's so important for us all to, you know, get out and make a difference. So we've gotten most of our year out and everything, so it's really good.
Amazing. Brilliant. Well done, guys. Well You're done. Great. We'll see you out there.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, hi. Welcome! Why are you guys here today?
I mean, it's kind of just to tell.
To show our support because, you know, it's a problem that affects us all. And if we don't do
something
now, nothing's going to happen.
And are you guys students?
Yeah, we are.
What year are you in?
Second year.
And are there loads of people here from your school?
Yeah. There's loads.
Well done. Yeah. Well done. Yeah. Woo woo!
Keep going.
Woo!
Thank you.
Hi, Maud.
Hey guys.
Why are you here today?
So I'm here for on strike for the climate, mainly for our future as a like citizen of the world. You know, it's not just about making money anymore. It's about sustaining our earth and like our living here. And yeah, just start stopping, like stop making profit out of everything and just start to realize that we are all humans and we need to make it better for the generation that's coming.
My name is Shifra Carty and I am the founder of Jump the Hedges.
Woo!
Jump the Hedges is a sustainable design studio and I mainly make bags from recycled materials, and I also give workshops and talks around sustainability. So I am here in Dublin today as part of the climate strike because I think it's really important to get out on the street, and it's all very well living and promoting sustainable lifestyles, but you need to be out here and showing your support, especially for the young people, and just being part of the whole system. And it's really important to it's all about numbers, and the quantity of people mm-hmm. is super important to showcase that everyone is interested in this and that it affects everyone from all walks of life. And yeah, it's just great to be here today, and the atmosphere is incredible.
What they've done. Nothing. Which is why, for over a year, the kids have had to start acting like adults. We have had to rise up and say that we will not be disregarded anymore. We will keep fighting for climate justice. Because when our generation was robbed of our future, we took to the streets and we created our own hope. Thank you.
Government, you pat me on the back while those same hands shop in the fast fashion industry. You smile at me and say it's nice to see someone who cares while that same mouth eats meat. You declare a climate emergency while giving oil drilling licenses less than 3 weeks later. It is hypocrisy at its highest level. It is sad to think that I don't want to go out because I see people feeding into fast fashion and driving around. I want to explain to them the effects they are having on themselves and others around them. Or worse, you can stay at home and you can watch videos, pictures, stories on how horrendous the state of this situation has gotten. To our government, you have caused me and thousands others to give up our teenage years because you couldn't do your jobs correctly. Empty promises and continued lip service. How am I meant to have hope when our world leaders don't even care enough to do something? I don't want to have to move house because I live near the coast. I don't want to have to put a gas mask on in the morning so we don't choke from the air pollution. I don't want to be part of a refugee crisis because there is a lack of resources because of your inconsideration of our futures. Yeah! We need radical action, not just paper straws. Laws need to be put in place. There should be no such thing as a youth climate activist. Dear government, this is what you've driven us to. Start changing! Yeah! The government is not all to blame. This is my fault. This is your fault. This is everyone who could not make it today's fault, and it is the people who could not be bothered's fault. We have created this climate crisis. Every single thing we do, every minute of every day, has an impact on the planet. We have seen the headlines over the past few months from the fires in the Amazon, the unrecorded fires in the Arctic Circle, the extreme weather occurrences in the Bahamas, and the rise in drought. In all of these cases, this has caused death. And when we strike today, we strike for those who are gone because of us. Their blood is on our hands. And this is not something that is all caused by those people. It is caused by us here in the first world, and we need to take responsibility. We all need to step up, show compassion, and make changes in our daily life. If not for us, for those who aren't so lucky too. I know that the Minister for Climate Action will be hearing this, and I hope this sends a direct message to him and his government colleagues that they are not doing enough. We don't want to see your tweets. We don't want to see your selfies, as like all of your other actions, they mean nothing.
Okay, hi, we're in the park. We're just after the march. I am here with Helen, who is from Eco UCD Society, and she's going to tell us all about what work they're doing.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the podcast.
You're so welcome.
So Eco UCD is the branch of the Students' Union that deals with all the climate activism, pushing for better change on campus and trying to get the ecological message out there, I guess. So we're student-based. And yeah, we run events on campus and we get involved with days like this in the city centre.
That's amazing. And how do you feel after today?
You feel really empowered after taking action. I think even if it's on just the personal level, the feeling that there's an echo response from just getting out there and using your voice is so important, I feel, for well-being when the problems can feel quite overwhelming.
Absolutely. Like, burnout is so real. Like, you need to support each other, right?
It really is. I think into the future, so I'm studying psychology, resilience and regenerative culture within movements like this and just within society in general are key. Yeah, so hopefully we'll get some nice yoga classes going on in UCD now soon.
We'll be joining these.
Definitely do.
And do you call yourself an activist?
I believe I'm an activist in my own way. I'm not sure of the official definition, but yes, I think if you use your voice for anything, you can call yourself an activist.
Yes, that's what we like to hear. I love it. And like, when did you kind of realize, oh, there might be something wrong with the old climate?
So funnily enough, it was when Netflix had just kind of been introduced into Ireland. I started watching all these documentaries on
plant-based diet and how it was good for our health and the planet and, you know, the animals as well. And at that moment in time, I'd never really thought about the environment, to be honest. And then from there, it snowballed into learning more about fast fashion and the problem that that is. And yeah, it just kept on going. And the more I learned, the more I couldn't unsee the changes that needed to be made in the world.
Yeah, that's what happens,
it's
right?
It's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah. So have you any events coming up that you'd like us to give a shout out?
So we do monthly clothes swaps in UCD, so I'm sure your listeners know what they are. But we're trying to get them going on a monthly basis to get people to bring in clothes, upcycle, you know, just explore a new way of being creative in your wardrobe. And sure, everyone loves to express themselves through fashion. So
we all wear clothes, guys.
Yeah, we all should wear clothes most of the time, probably. I mean, you never know what's coming these days, but I'd say yeah, come to our clothes swaps and get some nice clothes.
Great. And where can people find you online?
So we're on Instagram and we're on Facebook as EcoUCDSU because we're part of the Students' Union. So yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
So we are here with Cormac Nugent from Extinction Rebellion. Cormac, welcome.
Thanks very much for having me on.
Yeah, thank you so much. So Cormac, to begin, for our listeners who might not have heard of Extinction Rebellion, what is it all about?
Extinction Rebellion is an environmental activist group that was set up about 10 months ago to basically force governments and corporations to take action on climate change, because normal protests haven't worked, signing petitions hasn't worked, trying to talk to your local politician hasn't worked, so we need to do things differently. So we take part in non-violent civil disobedience, so we block roads, we stop business as usual, because as we all know, we're headed down a really bad path. If we don't drastically change our course, we're screwed, basically. So we take serious actions to get people to stand up and listen. Mm-hmm.
And how did you get involved? Tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Okay, I have a background in geography and international development, so I would have looked at a lot of the science and the kind of geography behind it. And it really, really scared me for about 2 years. I suffered with an awful lot of depression because of it, so I actually didn't leave my house for like 2 years.
Wow.
It's crippling.
It is, yeah. Completely. Like I could barely even talk to people. Mm-hmm. I literally would like struggle to talk to more than 2 or 3 people. Mm-hmm. And
well, thank you for talking to us.
Very welcoming. But the school strikes happened 10 months ago was the first one, or a year ago actually was the first one graduated, but the really big one in March kind of kicked me off. I seen that happen, I remember watching it and getting goosebumps and like sitting in my car crying watching this video, and I was like, right, I have to do everything I can to change this. So joined in with every school strike every Friday after that, went up to the Dáil every Friday.
So that's Fridays for Future.
Fridays for Future, yeah. Every Friday outside the Dáil. And then I met an activist at it, Emily Archer, who put me on to Extinction Rebellion. And 2 weeks later was the bridge blockade, so the one on O'Connell Street, where we blocked O'Connell Street for 5 hours.
And it was a great day as well, wasn't it?
It was a brilliant day. It was lovely. And so got involved there, helped a little bit of organising, and I woke up the next morning like completely revitalised. And this is the middle of Rebellion Week. I booked my ferry to London the next morning, so on Easter Sunday morning I got the ferry to London, arrived in at like 5 o'clock in the day, and seen Greta Thunberg speak that evening.
Wow!
Power, like I was after arriving like a half an hour beforehand and she gets up the stage. It was phenomenal. Yeah, amazing.
Because she's so articulate and so eloquent, and she just says it how it is.
Yeah. You have to be black and white with these things. Mm-hmm. Like, people have been kind of like tiptoeing around it and are afraid to say it how it is, but I think we need to actually listen to the children. Like, they can see it for how it is, and we need to listen to them and act accordingly. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I went to London, I was like, I don't know, activated is probably one word.
Yeah.
I came back, quit my second job, so I only work 2 days a week now, I work weekends. What? Basically just keep myself above water.
Yeah.
And 5 days a week I volunteer with Extinction Rebellion, just trying to organise events, talks, giving talks. Organising Rebellion for 7th of October then.
So you mentioned London there. We know that Extinction Rebellion, that whole movement, started in the UK. So just tell us a little bit more about how it started here in Ireland, the kind of actions that you guys take, your ethos, that kind of thing.
Okay, so I wasn't a part of the founding group here that started back in November, but I think there was a small group, it was about 20 of them that started the organisation here, and there was Funeral for the Planet was the first action. That was in February. Then that got a few hundred people at it in Dublin. Then a few groups started popping up in like Galway and Clare. And we had the big march then in April, so April 19th was Good Friday, had the big one on Connaught Street, and ever since then we've been growing massively. We've like tripled in size every few months. It's getting crazy. Like, we started our social media account, our Instagram account, like 2 weeks after the bridge blockade, and we're probably on 10,000 after today.
Great.
Yeah, and they're all in around that. So after that, we've had regular actions every few weeks almost. So
just back to Extinction Rebellion, what has the response been like here?
Okay, so after Rebellion Week 1 in London, they declared a climate emergency, the UK Parliament did, and after our actions here and school strikes, we also declared a climate and biodiversity emergency, but that was lip service. Leo Varadkar actually came out and said it was lip service. It shows how little he really cares and other politicians care. No, it's not just him, it's the whole system that's broken. But they declared that climate and biodiversity emergency. 2 weeks later, they granted oil and drilling licenses off the Kerry coast to a Chinese corporation. So it's utter hypocrisy, and like, there's no point in saying something and doing the absolute opposite. They don't really care about our future. So it's great that they did declare it, but now they need to act on it.
Yeah. It's more like we need action. We have plans. We know what to do. We have the solutions. We just need the political will behind this. And I think that's why this is a great movement to bring people together. And well done so far.
Thank you. Other than that, we haven't really got that much political action. Mm-hmm. The Climate Action Plan was released, which is actually quite good in its structure, but the goals aren't good at all. They've basically planned for 2050 being a cut-off date for net zero, which is 30 years too late.
Yeah.
If we're aiming for that, we're all going to die before we get to 70, basically. We're on course for 3.9 degrees at least of warming in the next century, and if that happens, human civilization won't survive. Coral reefs basically die off at 2 degrees. You're looking at basically the die-off of the Amazon rainforest at 2 degrees, massive tipping points set off with the albedo effect, Greenland ice sheet falls. If this all happens, you're looking at like 60, 70 metres of sea level rise in our lifetimes.
So, like with all of that, it kind of seems like, where do we keep the hope? But you say, I think I saw it on your Twitter, that there's hope in action. So where, in terms of activism, because that's what our episode is on, what is activism to you?
First of all, it gives me hope. It's as soon as I started getting involved, it lifted that depression. Because once you know you're doing what you can, whatever it is, if you're able to take small actions, do that. If you're able to take big actions like joining an environmental activist group, then do it. And it makes you feel empowered. It gives you the feeling that you're able to actually do something. And when we come together, we can massively change society. If you look at any of the big social movements over the years, so like civil rights movement in America, that was just ordinary people coming together and in a non-violent way changing the course of history. So we can do it if we come together, and thankfully after the school strikes today, I'm more inspired than I have been. And the teenagers, when they speak, it breeds life into everything. They're amazingly powerful, and activism is the strongest tool we have to change the course of history, and I think we're on the right path.
So, you know, I think one thing that we talk about is not everyone is in a position to, you know, attend these things or be as active as they might want to be due to different circumstances. Like, what do you say for people who want to be there but mightn't, they just can't?
Yeah, that's fair enough. A lot of people are restricted, whether it be with jobs or if they're sick, or there's so many different things that can inhibit people. So whatever you're able to do, if it's sharing things on social media, if it's donating to Friends of the Earth or Extinction Rebellion or whoever you prefer to do it to, if you can do that, brilliant. Encourage someone else to do it, allow someone else to actually take the actions. Talk to friends and family is a big one, I think, that isn't utilised enough. We have so much power in our everyday interactions that we don't really utilise. Like, I remember thinking, oh, my parents aren't going to change just because I'm doing this, but like, it's chipping away at things, and the more conversations you have, it gets into the people's subconscious and they start actually changing their actions. So we have a lot of power through like the butterfly effect per se. You talk to your friend and he's going to pass something on to the next one. So talk to everyone you can about climate change. Say why you're worried, why you're taking actions, and I mean, do what you can. Not everyone can be a full-time activist, but everyone can do something.
That's brilliant. Because I was just going to ask you, like, if you had one piece of advice.
That's the best advice.
That's probably it. So if people want to follow you personally or Extinction Rebellion, where can they find you?
You can find us at Extinction Rebellion Ireland on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. if you want, you can follow me, Cormac Nugent, on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
If you wanna.
It's not that interesting of a feed, but it's mainly climate stuff. Just check out our social media. We have a website as well, and if you check out our website, you can go onto our GoFundMe there, because we're looking for funds at the minute, because we're trying to organise Rebellion Week 2, which is the 7th to the 13th of October. We're hoping that's going to be big.
Brilliant.
The last one, like the O'Connell Bridge one, had over 1,000 people, and we're way bigger than we were then, so we're hoping there's going to be thousands. During Rebellion Week, we are planning on shutting down a major location in Dublin. And
is this just in Dublin now?
So it's happening in over 50 countries around the world, in the capital cities around the world.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. So in 10 months, we're in 50 plus countries. There's millions of members around the world. It's crazy the amount we're growing at. So we're holding, we're calling it a family-friendly festival of civil disobedience.
Brilliant.
So we're taking direct actions around the world together at the exact same time, to get the media to sit up and listen, to tell the truth. So that's our first demand, is to get the government and the media to tell the truth about the climate crisis that we're in, because a lot of them are basically saying, oh yeah, this is happening, but they're not conveying the urgency of it. Mm. We need to be acting in a similar fashion to we did in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
We need to mobilise basically all of our society and change the way society is structured, or else we don't have a chance of saving ourselves. Like, we've about a 5% chance of averting catastrophe, and it can't 5% chance of hitting 2 degrees of warming, and if we surpass 2 degrees of warming, you're setting off tipping points.
Yeah.
So we need to keep it below that, ideally 1.5 degrees. So the 1.5 and 2 degrees might not make sense to a lot of people, but the difference between 1.5 and 2 degrees is about 140 million premature deaths.
Mm-hmm.
In our lifetimes, 140 million people are going to die prematurely because of that 0.5 degrees warming. You're also looking at between 200 million and 1 billion climate refugees.
It's a huge issue. Like, it's happening now.
It is. It's happening already. You're already seeing climate refugees happen. So even with Syrian
Alaska war, and everything, isn't it? Yeah.
The Syrian war was, there was a lot of reasons for that kicking off, but a lot of it was because they were experiencing drought because of drought. There was no food, and it kicked off riots, basically. And that was the start of what happened over there. So this is going to continue to happen if we don't change our course.
Well, I really love what you're saying about Rebellion Week being for everybody, and it's like a really gentle approach. So I guess the top tips are, you know, talk to your friends, right? Well, thank you so much for talking to us, Cormac.
Thank you.
Thank you both so much. It was brilliant.
And we'll see you on October?
October 7th to the 13th. So it's going to be in Dublin City Centre.
Brilliant.
If you check out any of our social media feeds, we'll be putting stuff out in there. And if you want to get involved actively, message us and we'll sort you out with training and whatever you need.
Perfect.
Great. Thanks so much.
The wild ones, where do they come from? Maybe the great-great-grandma, the wise one.
What a roller coaster of emotions, guys.
Mm-hmm.
I truly cannot believe how articulate those student strikers are. They see it so clearly, as we all should. This is truly a climate emergency, and it is their future that is at stake.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think Cormac put it so well, that activism is the strongest tool we have to change the course of history.
Exactly.
We have so much power in our everyday actions, and that although not everyone can be a full-time activist, everyone can do something to affect change. As Greta says, everything counts, everyone counts.
It's so true. And the global climate strike was particularly timely and poignant, given that a pivotal UN climate summit is actually being held in New York on Monday, the 23rd of September. So by the time you're actually listening to this, it will have happened. But one thing you probably heard over and over again in this episode is our governments are not doing enough. And it is these governments that will be meeting on Monday to discuss the fate of our planet and to bring their plans on how they will act to slow global warming. I thought it was very interesting that Antonio Guterres, he's the UN Secretary General, he told world leaders to bring, quote unquote, plans, not speeches. and has only offered them a slot if they come with credible and ambitious targets. He has also asked participating nations, of which there are 60, to support an end to fossil fuel subsidies, stop building new coal-fired power plants after 2020, and commit to getting to net carbon emissions by 2050, all of which is very ambitious and absolutely necessary.
Wow, I hope that happens.
I know.
As always, just want to say thank you to April for piecing this episode together. And this month we're saying thanks to Megan for lending us her recorder to enable us to take this episode to the streets.
Woohoo!
We really enjoyed meeting you. And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please share it with your friends, rate us, review and subscribe if you can. It means so much to us. And you can follow us on Instagram at Climate Queens Podcast.
So we want to leave you with a really beautiful, gripping poem that was read by Lucy Holmes, who is a first year student in Trinity. I really don't think there was a dry eye in the crowd when she read it out.
So powerful.
It really was. So following this, you will hear the sound of youth activists directly from the climate strike. So we actually had a minute's silence while our phone alarms simultaneously rang, which was signalling the kind of urgent action that needs to be taken. So we really urge you to take that minute to absorb and reflect on what you can do in your daily life.
Because I am absolutely terrified of our future. So today I'm going to read you a poem called Rise, and it's about rising for our future. No amount of heat can melt the ice in your heart, born only with the intent to destroy, but you knew the repercussions from the start. I have watched you treat my future like a toy and pull the very threads of it apart. So tell me, when did caring go out of fashion? Where do we fit in a world that lacks any ounce of basic human compassion? And what good are pieces of paper proclaiming that you care when you poison all our rivers and toxic gases fill the air? But no, your lack of action and constant use of meaningless destruction will plague my burning lungs, and you will be the reason my children die before they're young. This system, this cycle, this social suicide, this keeps spinning and speeding until the top blows off and leaves us all bleeding. So watch as corpses fill the streets, con me with your notions and blind me with deceit. This plastic passion, fast fashion, car crashing, smashing through everything I love. So come now and opiate my petrochemical blood and advertise me notions of your sick, synthetic love. We are plagued and pillaged and burned, and yet we never seem to learn. So show them the blackness, the darkness, the void. Show them your bones as they're being destroyed. Show them the black eyes and lie from your tongues. Show them the heartache and burning black lungs. The sky is laced with cyanide. The trees are filled with fear. And no amount of money will dry these never-ending tears. And yet there's men who feel no shame. Who cares about the damage? We could profit from the pain. So we rise like the never-ending tide and grow tall like the trees. And we will keep on shouting until the whole world hears our pleas. This apathetic, unsympathetic, sick, synthetic life, made of plastic, thrown away, and all bound up with strife. How do we survive in this world governed by fear? Know that we need to change, and that change begins here. Thank you.
this, like.